Your prayer this morning that you want your life to be a praise offering to him. Psalm 145 says, I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to the other. They tell of your mighty acts. You know, and that's how we have received this story, is that the generations before us have proclaimed that truth to the next one. And we're witness to that. And I hope we would be that generation now that does the same for the next generation, whether it be your family members, whether it be your friends, whether it be the people in the community, that your life would be a testimony to him. And I like to do this song I do it other times too, but I do like to do it on this is Palm Sunday. And it's called Hosanna. And it makes me think of the story in the Bible when they were laying down palm branches, saying Hosanna to the King of Kings, even though they weren't really sure what was going on. And then within a moment's notice, a few days later, some of those same people turned on Christ and were against him. And I often read those stories and think, I hope that if I had been chosen to live in that generation where Jesus was there, that I would have been one of those people laying the palms down. I don't know. Maybe I would have turned and been one of those people that just said, no, I guess he's not Christ. He's dying. He's going to be crucified. It can't be Christ. I would hope that I wouldn't be that. But, you know, we look back, and it's easy for us to look back and say that. Oh, yeah, I would be there. I'd be that one saying, praise Jesus, right to the end. I'd go with him right to the end. And I hope that our lives, you know, we live in a time now where it's starting to cost us a little bit to be a Christian. It hasn't really, honestly, in this country, it really hasn't cost us anything to be a Christian. We come here, we do our services, we're allowed to do that, we're allowed to say things. Now it's kind of turned the other way a little bit, and there are countries that certainly it costs them to be a Christian. And at this time, it would have cost you. You know, when Christ died, those people that stayed with him to the end, it could have cost them their very lives. And so I hope that you're ready for that. That there may come a time when your faith in Christ is going to cost you more than it does right now. And I hope that your faith is going to stand through that. So let's proclaim this morning. And as we go into this week of remembering what Christ did for us, and as Easter comes upon us, really, really search your heart and just proclaim that even to your neighbors and friends this week. Be a witness to that this week. Song's a little bit newer. It's called My Testimony. And we each have a different testimony, and there's times when that our testimony will affect somebody that maybe crosses your path like someone else's wouldn't. And so I just encourage you that don't be scared to share your testimony with others. You never know who might need it that day. So if you guys remember this, please feel free to sing it out.
still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. This is my testimony from death to life. This grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. It's my testimony from death to life. Just which me wrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Oh,
this next song is an older one, and I was talking to my mom this week, and I'm hoping soon, if her bubble opens, that we can get together again. And she goes to a big church there, and they often sing a lot of new songs, as we do, too. And she was just saying this week, could you please do a hymn for me this week? And she listens to us, even though she doesn't always like Andrew, but, you know, she still listens to him. She listens to it more for me than him, let's be honest. Anyway.
She's forgotten that I edited it. She yes. really should have asked me because I don't have to include
no,
this song at all.
No, he will. He will include. He loves her. Anyway, so you guys know this song. It's a great old hymn. It's called How Great Thou Art.
How great thou art.
Last song is called Heart of Worship, and I hope that you're here for the right reasons, and that as we sing these songs that we're not just going through the motions, but that we truly are doing it in worship to our God and King. So if you guys know this, let's sing it.
All about you.
How's everybody? There's the Exodus. There they go. On their way. There's going to be snacks provided in the wilderness. It's going to be awesome. Anyway, God bless you today, and happy Palm Sunday. It's so strange for me, as I was saying during our first service, to be here in person. This was the time when we were shut down. And I remember preaching my first message at that computer at the back, showing the closet behind me, because what do you do? We didn't know. We weren't allowed to meet. That has never happened in my lifetime, where the government shut people down and under the guise of safety that we weren't allowed to get together. It was a very strange Sunday for me. In fact, a year ago, I had taped the message, which was very strange. I had uploaded in the morning, and by this time, I was fishing. at the river, which is weird. Like, I was a Sunday, and I'm fishing, and I'm not with church family, and it was very, very strange for me. And little did we know that we would be there for several months in our province, and then, of course, we were able to meet and book seats, and I feel so good this morning to be with you. And I don't want to ever take that for granted, because a year ago, I wasn't allowed. Right? Like, that's amazing to me. And so happy Easter to you as you prepare. And I hope this Palm Sunday you have been thinking about your guide. Right? This whole week, and we've been talking about connecting, that he is the one who lives within you, this idea of the Holy Spirit. And again, for some, I know, very strange concept. We kind of stay away from the things that maybe make us uncomfortable or we're unsure of. But again, we tried to explain to you the Trinity. It's really, really, really big, but it's okay for you to try to wrestle that concept to the ground, isn't it? That here I am, Andrew. I'm known as a son, right? I'm known as a husband, and I'm known as a father, but it's all still Andrew. And so we've been asking you to kind of seek this week the Holy Spirit. Seek your advocate. Seek your guide, and he is longing to pour into you. And I hope that you've been challenged in a sense of wonder in order to seek him, because if you seek him, the promise is you'll find. Think about this connection as we talk about connection again this morning. Isaiah 30, 21, I love this verse. It says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. How many times in our lives do we go, I'm so confused, I just can't hear what God wants from me, and we get a little frustrated, and praise the Lord, it causes us to seek, right? Because you want to know the direction that the Lord would have for you. But think about this promise from Isaiah that if we listen, right, we'll hear this voice, this is the way, walk in it. Because again, the advocate is looking to show you, to direct you, to guide you. And I hope that wonder would lead you to the right paths, and that glory would be changed because of our obedience. This week, it was kind of interesting. I've been faced with COVID pounds. Does anybody have COVID pounds? Listen, some of you should have your hands up because I've been watching. All right? But I've got COVID pounds, right? And I got a brand new scale. You guys would have been so proud of me. And I stepped on that scale and I said, Allison, it's broken, right? And I looked again, and I said, this is weird. I looked around. I'm all alone. It was way early in the morning. I look around, and I try it again, and I'm going, yeah, it really must be broken, right? And I said, okay, I got to do something. I'm at that age where if I don't start moving, then, you know, an object in motion will stay in motion, but an object sitting in the chair is going to keep sitting in the chair. And my hound, my youngest hound, when my oldest hound died, she kind of went through a little bit of depression. She's still there. She's not moving like she used to move. That puppy is gone. And so I've been happy to look up at times when I have a half hour and I'm sitting in my chair and I'm going, oh, this feels so good. And I look down at the dog and her energy's gone and she's looking pretty relaxed. And I say, do you want to go for a walk? And she rolls over. And I just say, that's totally good. So I've been letting my hound create a way that there is no way, right? And so I said, I've got to deal with these COVID pounds. I've got to get moving again. And so I started going, moving on the elliptical. You know what the elliptical is? It's like a treadmill for old people. Right? It's so much easier on the knees. And so a couple of years ago, I would have been on the treadmill or would have been running. And now I'm going, you're getting old, buddy. And you got a few extra COVID pounds that snuck up because you didn't have the mirror behind you. And now when I look behind me, I go, there's some more COVID pounds that were hiding. And so I'm on the elliptical saving my knees. And I was thinking, man, this is so beneficial. Like 2 weeks and I've lost 10 pounds just because I started moving, right? Now, I am not so naive to think that I'm going to stay at that rate. So the discipline begins now. In fact, last night I was like, I really don't want to do this. Really don't want to do this. Yesterday, it was kind of mid-morning. I had finished some stuff early here at the church in the morning after I took Elias to work. And I was going, I need to go home. I went home, and there was the hound lying there. And I said, oh, that looks so good. And I put my feet up in my chair, and I said, oh, just 10 minutes. And 10 minutes turned into a half hour. And I said to the dog, you want to go for a walk? And she rolled over. And I said, no, you must be disciplined, Andrew. You're talking about discipline. So I went downstairs. And after that 10 minutes, I thought, okay, here's the heart attack coming. No, nobody's home to restart it, right? I had 9-1, and I was getting ready to hit the 1, right? And then I got to the 20-minute mark, and I was going, ooh, I feel a little better. I might just make it, right? Like, and I've been doing this for 2 weeks, so I know how this works, right? And then I got to that 30 minutes, and I was like, you are a rock star! And I was feeling good. I went upstairs, and I tried on some bikinis. I felt so good, right? And I was going, I'm ready. And I was thinking of this. I was thinking, when we're moving, think about the benefits. You have weight management. Right? And I'd like to say it's weight management, right? It's not being managed right now, but I'm working on weight management, right? We were working on the heart benefits. I was thinking when I was done that half hour, even mentally, I felt so good. I said, there's so many benefits. My circulation was going. I was thinking of my pa in his final years. He dealt with diabetes and cholesterol for so long, and I don't have those issues. Right? And you'd say, well, you don't go to the doctor. That's true, but every couple of years, my wife and my doctor get together without me, and then they make a plan, and then all of a sudden they say, we need to go for a doctor's appointment. So I take the family to Kentville. Little do I know the doctor's appointment's for me. And I get there, and they're like, yeah, it's yours. And I'm going, oh, and they're like, surprise. And she takes my blood work, because my dad had a whole bunch of health problems. They get the blood work back, and she always goes, Andrew, you're doing good. I just want to talk to you about it. I said, I'm managing it, right? And I'm working on that, and I'm being disciplined, but I look at all of the benefits, even yesterday, like the endorphins that were released, and I know this afternoon I'm going to want to sit down after we eat, and two services has been a long day already, and we had a late night because there was fights on. It's not my fault. It's the UFC, and I'm going to want to sit in that chair, and I'm going to ask the dog if she wants to go for a walk. She's going to roll over, but I am going to try to do my elliptical today. Why? Because the benefits are huge. The benefits of moving physically are huge. And that is true of our spirit. And we've been trying to talk about that over the last 2 months, that we need to be moving. Moving where? In the way. That God has a way for you to move. He has a path for you to follow. And I hope that you are walking with God. Because when we do, it stands out. There's benefits. When we do, we are encouraged. When we do, we feel so great about walking with Him, and that's because we're designed to move. I was thinking even this morning as we were getting ready for this whole idea of Palm Sunday, and I kind of said it when we were praying in our opening prayer, that here people got so excited about the triumphal entry, and they're laying down their cloaks, and they're laying down their branches, and everybody's excited, and then all of a sudden, just moments later, it seems, right? The same people who cried Hosanna were crying Crucify Him.
And I was thinking, I was going, you know what? There's so many times in our Christian walk where we're not walking in the way that we know we should walk. And one of those stories that always resounds to me is found in Luke 15, and it's the parable of the son, right? The prodigal son. And I'm not going to read that all today, but again, read that if you want it. Bless your heart, Luke 15. I'm just going to share a few verses with you. But here's this feller who has two sons. And all of a sudden, the young son, you know what? He's got blessings. He's got everything. His father was quite wealthy. And he says, you know what, Dad? He says, I want to go out on my own. And he says, well, yeah, one day all of this will be split between you guys and you'll have a good start. And he's like, no, I want it now. I want my half now, right? And so the father, even though he's reluctant because he knows that maybe his son isn't ready for this, but he honors his son, he gives him his portion. And we know the story goes that he takes off on his own and he starts to live a wild lifestyle and the party is going. And it says, the word uses the word squandered. He squandered his riches. That it was an utter waste. And then all of a sudden, tragedy strikes because famine hits the land. Right? And now that the party's over, now that the hard times have come, now that the famine is there, guess what? All of his party friends, nobody's to be found. How many can relate to that story? Right? And again, I'm thinking, you dummy, when I read this story as a kid, I'd say, you walked away from the blessing. Well, how many times have I done that myself? Then the party's over, and where are those people who wanted my attention? They don't want it anymore. And it says that this boy finds a job at a pig farm, nonetheless. Think of that as a Jew. There's conflict of interest. And he's working with the pigs, and it's kind of funny. In verse 16, it says, but no one gave him anything. Think of that contrast. The father had all of the blessings and gave him what he asked, and yet here he is on his own. And it says, but no one gave him anything. And he's feeding pigs, which would be the lowliest of job for a Jew to do. And he starts to want the pods that he's feeding the pigs, the pea pods, he wants to eat them himself. He's so hungry. The slop. And he's thinking while he's craving this, he's going, you know what? My servants, dad's servants at home, they got 3 square meals a day and snacks. Like, they had so much. And here I am doing this demeaning job, and everything is gone, and I've squandered everything, and I'm so hungry, I want to eat with these pigs. Are you kidding me? I need to go home because the servants have it so much better in dad's home. And so he starts to head himself home. He comes to his senses, and he's walking home, and you can imagine him going over that speech of how he's sorry to his dad, and how, you know what, he knows he wasted everything, and he knows he doesn't deserve anything. He just wants to be a servant. If you just give me a place at the servant's bunkhouse, and you know what, you'll feed me, I'll give you a hard day's work. And he's thinking of all of these apologies, and it says in verse 20, while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son and threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. And I love it. Because there's been times in my life where I've walked away from the blessing, where I've been distracted. And every time I come home, I'm always surprised that God not only welcomes me, but just like this story, the Father is watching and he's waiting day after day for us to turn around and to come back. And he doesn't wag his finger. What he does is he opens his arms and he weeps with us and he kisses us and he welcomes us home. How beautiful is that? And I was thinking this week, like, of those fickle people back on that first Palm Sunday. They're saying, Hosanna, praise to the King of Kings. And then moments later, they're saying, crucify him. And I'm going, Lord, there am I. So many times I walk away from your blessing. And I don't deserve to return home. And then when I come to my senses and I come, there you are, watching and running to me. Running to me, connecting. How important is our connection with God? Are you kidding? We have a God Almighty longing to do life with us. And just like there's physical benefits to moving, there is spiritual benefits to moving. Our connection with God is vital. And how often do we take it for granted? Think about that with me again. Like, I see myself in those stories. It's vital. And I think back, why is it so vital? Well, it's generational. Like I said, Kirtland had a sign out there, which I really liked last week. It was there for a little bit. But he said, the life that you live is the lesson you teach. And I was thinking to the truth of that in hindsight now that I've lived. I'm getting to that point where I have to be on an elliptical instead of a treadmill, and I have to really manage my weight, right? I'm hitting that age where I'm going, wow, so many things have changed. I've lived things that I maybe, you know, should have done different and all this sort of thing, and all these lessons are coming to me, but I'm thinking that moving in the spiritual realm is vital, and it's generational. The greatest gift that my mother and father ever gave to me was the gift of living their faith before me. And I was thinking of that. There's hard times, don't get me wrong. Like I always tell people when I'm marriage counseling, I'm saying for Allison and I, it was year four. Kind of the honeymoon was over. We started to take each other for granted. Year four, we started to be able to fight. We were a little too comfortable with each other. We started to take each other for granted. And year four was hard. And I remember even talking to my mom and dad about that. I was saying, you guys have lived a lifetime together. This is before my dad passed. Right? And even since he's passed, Mom and I have shared more stories. I remember very vividly when I was a little kid and we were living on Beeline Road. My dad came home and he had worked all day, and I think he'd worked most of the night. That was probably what started kind of the fight, that he hadn't even come home the night before and he had been gone for 2 days. And he sits down and reads his paper, and I remember this, a pot came flying from the kitchen. Whoom! Took the paper right out of his hand. Right? And of course, why didn't I think, well, they fought? Really awesomely, like when you can think of abuse and some of the terrible things that people deal with that are really, really sad. But I remember my dad didn't even say a word, like a pot just about killed him, right? He gets up and he grabs the paper, and it's in two pieces now, and he's holding it together, and he continues to read. He doesn't even look at her. I'm going, Mom, how did you keep from killing him? She said, well, I tried. I said, well, what did you do? She says, I called my mother. I said, what did you say? She said, Mama, I want to come home. I said, what did Grandma say? Grandma said, you are home, and she hung up on me. I said, was it year four? She said, yeah. I said, yeah! Year four is a tough one, isn't it? And I said, but I wanted to thank you guys for loving each other and living your faith, that there was hard times, but here was the beauty of it, you see, because they both looked to God, that even when they disagreed and papers were being ripped sometimes by pots that magically came flying from the kitchen, they were still looking the same way to the same one. And so because they were looking the same way, they kept moving the same way. And I saw these blessings being lived out in front of me of their faith, and I said, wow, this is incredible. And now, so guess what? So now I saw faith lived before me, and now I realize the benefits, and I'm living faith hopefully before my kids, my wife and I. And they too, right? They're not dancing around, you know, joining calls or doing anything. Like, I'm proud of them. Like, they have this idea that faith has been shown to them. And again, I'm seeing great choices in their lives. You see that this is generational. The blessings are generational. You want to talk about that? Study Deuteronomy. Like, Deuteronomy is when God kind of lays that all out there, this idea that there is blessings and there are cursings. I was thinking of some of those verses, Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 28. It says this, see, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Very, very clear that there are blessings and there are curses. And we have to choose, right? There's a discipline that comes there. Deuteronomy 30:19, again, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death. Blessing and curse, therefore choose life that you and your offspring may live. Greatest gift my mom and dad ever gave me was the faith. I watched it. I hadn't received it, but I watched how it affected their marriage. Right? How when they disagreed, they were still together. I watched how it affected my brother and I and the way that we were raised. I watched how it impacted their finances. Like, again, they never lived above their means. Like, we didn't have much. We were always fed. But I don't, I remember my dad, the first new car he ever had, Dodge 600. Woo! Do you remember that? Little K cars. Like, they pumped them out 10 every minute, right? And it was this robin egg blue. And I was like, wow, we got a new car. Nobody told me that there was cool new cars. And there was terrible, like, new cars. That was one of the terrible ones, right? But it was an SE. Woo! You know what that meant? Special edition. You know what it had? Power windows. I remember sitting in it, and I was going, oh, what's that smell? And Dad was like, that's what a new car smells like. And he would find me sometimes in the morning. The windows would be up. I'd be out in the car just to... He'd be like, what are you doing? I'd say, just leave me alone. Oh, it feels good. I've never had this before, Dad. He'd say, come in for supper. I go, just a minute. And then I put the window down. He's going, what are you doing? I said, Dad, it's luxury. And I think in his head, he said, you know what? This boy has got brain damage. And he thought in his head, you know what? He's kind of materialistic right now. Like he had never seen that side of me before because we'd never had anything new, right? And he and I got out of the car, right? He said, you come in for supper now or you're not going to see supper until next week. And I was like, okay, Daddy, right? Because Dad only spoke once. And he said, you're happy with that new car? I said, yeah, I'm happy with that new car. He says, you know what? I want to tell you something today. He said, it's only a car. He said, they make them every day. And I said, oh, Dad. And I put down the window again. I said, smell it. He's like, you know what's hardest about a new car? He says, they tell me it's the first scratch. And he took the key and he went, right in the front door. And I was like, Dad, this is a 600 Dodge. This could be it. Like, you just ruined the original paint. Like, this could be worth millions one day. And he said, it's only a car, son. I own it. It doesn't own me. Now he says, get in there before I beat you. Go eat. Right? And I was thinking about that, even that lesson, that he saw in me a little bit of materialistic kind of flair, and he reminded me that it wasn't important. Then think about this. It was probably 2 or 3 weeks after we got the new car. My brother was waiting for my mom to get off work, and he was doing donuts in the parking lot, and he hit some ice and got out of control and drove that brand new 600 SE right into a light pole. Woo! Can you imagine, right? So this is so exciting. So he comes home, and he's sad. And I'm like, oh, Dad's going to kill you! And he's like, I know. I'm going, go! Oh, I'm waiting here! So my brother goes in, he gets Dad. Dad, I got something to show you. Dad says, okay. Comes out, right, and I'm sitting there, I'm going, oh, hit him, hit him, hit him, hit him, right? And Dad walks over calmly to the brand new car that's only half there now, like how he drove it home is a miracle, right? And my dad looks at him and he goes, that didn't look like that when you left. And my brother goes, I know. And Dad goes, you know what this means? And I'm like, hit him, hit him, hit him. And my brother goes, what? And he goes, you'll never drive my car again. He took the keys and put it in his pocket and he went back in. And so I went in, like the show was over, and I was like, Dad, why didn't you hit him? Dad, I was ready. Like if you wait, maybe you want me to call Jason? He'll come down and watch you hit my brother too? Like some of my friends, right? And he's like, no. He says, what do you mean hit him? He says, do you not remember the scratch? I said, Dad, that's more than a scratch. This is a brand new car. You're paying for this for the next 7 years, right? And he only brought half of it home. Like, you should hit him. And he goes, do you not think that your brother is more important than a car? Could you hit him just a little bit? Right? Their faith impacted us. That I saw the benefits lived before me again and again and again as my mother and father chose to move in the way that God had planned. Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. Think about our world with me just for a moment. Do they need to know straight paths? Oh, my land, the world needs some straight paths. John 14:27, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Think about that verse with me, that promise, the benefit of walking in the way. Does the world need peace right now? Does the world need to be taught to not be afraid? You want to better believe it does. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about that verse. Think about that benefit. Does the world need some joy today? Does the world need some hope today? 1 Thessalonians 3:12, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else just as ours does for you. Does the world need an increase of love today? Yeah. And this connection with God Almighty is waiting for us. Why would you do that? Because the reasons are vast. The benefits are eternal. Why would we embrace a connection with God? Because as we walk with God, it is the most incredible journey that we can be upon. And again, the benefits are eternal. I was thinking about that idea of walking with somebody. Who do you walk with in life? Like, you get a little more choosy as you get older, don't you? Like, you kind of start choosing people and you say, you know what, who am I journeying with? I'm journeying with those that I love and those who love me. And you think about that relationship, like you start to become a little more comfortable with those people, right? And pretty soon you give them the right to interfere a little bit, to meddle with your life. Like Phil the other night, he's going to hear this Tuesday, he's not here, but the other night when we were trying to do that special, we were singing that song, How Great Thou Art, he put his mic over here. So he's singing, he's looking down. I'm saying, Phil, can't hear you.
What do you mean can't hear
me? I said, why aren't you using your mic? I said, well, your book is off to the side, Phil. I said, you know what? You frustrate me sometimes when I'm doing a recording. And this one's for Clara. And even though she doesn't deserve it, I still want it to be the best it can. And I said, your mic isn't in front of your face. Right? And then he got a little bit mad with me, got a little bit snippy with me. But guess what? Phil and I can get a little mad with each other and a little snippy with each other because we're friends. And all of a sudden, I noticed that before we started the song again, he moved his binder over so that his mouth could be in front of the mic. And I went, oh. Look at the difference it makes. And while he wanted to punch me and break a guitar over my head last night because he wanted to argue, he's in a little bit of, I don't know if you know this about Phil, sometimes he's argumentative. Right? And I said, do you want it to be the best that it could be? And he said, shut up. And then he moved his binder. And even this morning, right before we got to that song, he moved his binder in front of his mic, and I was so proud of him. And I went, you know what? That's love. That's love. He threatens me, but in reality, he will listen to me because he knows that I told him something that was true, even though he didn't want to hear it. There's times when he tells me, Andrew, what are you playing there? I'm saying, I'm playing an A. And he said, well, it should be an A minor. And I'll go, yeah, I know, it'll sound better. And so I play my A minor, and he goes, there, aren't you glad that I'm in your life? Now quit being stupid. And I'm going, wow, you really don't have the gift of encouragement, do you? But I allow him to walk with me. I allow him to meddle in my life. You know what? Because there's these benefits. There's this beauty. When Phil had kidney stones 2 weeks ago, I didn't even think about driving him to the hospital. I just did it because I love him. You walk with those people. You choose those people. Now, in contrast to that, think about the people that you start to avoid. Why do you avoid them? Because they're toxic. You know what I'm talking about. Those people who are filled with drama, those people who are always casting their burdens upon you but never taking any of your burdens on them, that they're a burden, you're carrying them, you're dragging them, they're always needing something from you, they're the friends that always want to borrow, but then when it comes time to pay back, they never show up, right? And those people, so sometimes you start to distance yourself from them, and I'm kind of going, okay, we all know people like that. If you don't know people like that, you're the person like that, just so you know, right? Wow, I came to church. He just blew my mind. I'm a jerk. Yes, change, right? So you go and you choose to walk with the people that you love and support you. You give them the ability to even meddle in your life. Then there's those who you stay away from. Well, think about this through the spiritual side. What kind of a friend are you to God? Do you ever help carry his burdens? Nope. You're just a burden. Do you bring drama? Are you that friend that doesn't always listen? Yeah. We talked about it Palm Sunday. There were those who praised him. Hosanna. Hosanna to the King of Kings. And then a short time after, they're saying, crucify him. That's you and I. The prodigal son, we're the ones that are living under the blessing and say, Dad, I want more. I know more. I am ready to live my life. Give me what's mine. And what do? We walk away from the blessing and we squander everything until nobody will give us anything else. And then what do? With our tail between our legs, we slowly walk back to the Father. But there he is. He's watching. And not only is he watching, but he runs to you with arms wide open and embraces you and kisses you. Like, that's the benefit. What do we bring to God? Drama and pain and sorrow. But in contrast to that, what does he bring to us? He brings us opportunity after opportunity, chance after chance. He brings us mercy and grace. He brings us arms wide open and showers us with kisses and approval and love. Why would you walk with him? How could you walk without him? I just can't understand a world that continually cries, crucify him. And I can't understand a church that looks no different than the world. God lets you, think about this. Let this humble us. God allows us an intimacy that lets us meddle with his life. Like, think about that. He spends so much of his day watching and waiting for you. Has he got better things to do? Not in his opinion. He loves you that much. Do you benefit him? Not a whole lot, let's be honest. He wants you still. God Almighty lets you be involved in his business. He invites you to walk with him, to walk his way. Think about the blessing of that. John 15:15, this is Jesus speaking to his followers. Listen to this. He said, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know the master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from the Father, I've made known to you. God calls you friend. You know his business. He's given us the ability to meddle. He allows us to be a part of his every day. Are you kidding me? How could we reject that? He doesn't gain much, really. But we gain everything. Benefits that echo through eternity? Are you kidding me? I saw that stupid, I hate that bumper sticker. You know how some things get under you for no reason at all and you just go, oh, it's like the Montreal Canadiens, right? Maybe there's this bumper sticker and you've seen it. It's an old one. It was an older car, so it all made sense, right? But it's that one that says, Jesus is my co-pilot. And every time I see it, I go, you moron, switch seats. Like, why is Jesus your co-pilot? God Almighty invites you to do life with him. I think he should be driving. Church, if I had a message for this Palm Sunday, understanding how fickle you and I are, I'd say if God is your co-pilot, you're doing it wrong. Let's switch seats. Maybe you're here today or listening on the podcast and you haven't even received God. Like this gift that we talked about over the last few weeks, he gives you this incredible gift and all of its benefits and you've refused to open it. I can't understand. I can't understand. Right? You want to be right. You want to be in charge. You want to be your own God so much. Like it just boggles me. The culture that we live in, that they would reject an almighty God, I can't fathom it. The proof, the history, everything behind it, even the science. like there's so much. I'm going, how can you not believe an almighty God? Because he sure believes in you. Everybody bow your heads. Whew, I've been a little longer. It's okay. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Friends. God Almighty allows you to be a part of his every day. Like, will you?
you've never received God, I challenge you to challenge him. Because when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to be a mess and everything will change. And wow, I'm not saying it gets easy. Sometimes it gets even more harder and complex, but you will never, ever walk alone because God Almighty will be with you. Wow. The benefits are eternal. Do you need him today? You know, maybe you're a believer here today, and just like that prodigal son, you've been living the blessing. But you keep on saying, "Woo! I think I can do this on my own." And for whatever reason, distractions, opportunities, whatever it would be, there's this moment where you stopped worrying about his way, because he has a plan for you. You stopped worrying about his way, and just like the prodigal son, you said, "Dad, I got this one," and you started making your own way. I just want you to know, as a believer and a brother in Christ, oh, turn, because no one but the Father will give you anything, and the Father will give you everything. You see, just like moving in our physical world has its benefits, moving with him spiritually, the benefits are astounding. So when I say, why would you connect to God? How could you not? And oh, that we would be the ones who would be understanding that the Spirit is going to be poured out in the last days. So they were living in the last days. The Spirit is longing to pour himself out over you. And you know what? That fickleness that would go from Hosanna to crucify him? No. We'll shout Hosanna. Praises to the King of Kings. We won't have to go on our own journey, because the journey that God invites us on, we will be proud and honored to travel. And we'll let our light shine in these days and into the darkness. And we'll look like aliens in this world. And the moment is coming when the trumpet will sound and your benefits will be, a wonder. A wonder. A wonder. How could you not live without him? He invites you to walk his way. God, I need you, and I want more of you. Every day your blessings are new. I crave you. Come and fill me. Come and fill me. Show me your way. And you know that I'm stupid sometimes. Make it clear. Oh, be clear. Let me walk in the way that you have prepared. Be that voice. This is the way. Walk in it. Thank you for the benefits. In Jesus' name, amen.